Let's take out our Bibles, if you have one, whether a Bible from the Bible cart, maybe you have your own Bible you brought, Bible on your phone. This morning we're going to read from the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. And as we start opening up our Bibles to the book of Exodus, we are starting a new series of messages this morning, a new sermon series based on the book of Exodus. We're calling the sermon series Freedom, or maybe we might say, freedom, or we could say it really quietly, kind of like churchy, just freedom, talking about freedom, or we could say, I think what the Bible's trying to get at, especially the book of Exodus, something bigger than just churchy freedom, right? Something deep, big, something that could be sung about, maybe shouted from the mountaintops. I did put some sermon notes on the church's website. So if you have access to the church website, Nelson Avenue Community Church website, there should be some sermon notes under recent news. September 22nd, sermon notes. You want to follow along, you're welcome to do that. And I recognize, I was thinking this morning, you know, it's possible that some people this morning might say, you know, we've had these different people making announcements, And now this guy's going to talk for a while. Why is that? Like, why do people only get 2 or 3 minutes for their announcements, but the pastor gets, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes? Like, is that really fair? And in some ways it's not. But just to remind us that when I'm talking, our understanding of the Bible and also the sermon on Sunday mornings, it's meant to be not just me, and if God is really blessing, you really stop hearing my voice, and you're really hearing, in some ways, the voice of God. That's not to say I have the voice of God. What I'm trying to say is, as we open the Scriptures and think about what the Bible's saying, if it's done with the Spirit's blessing, it's not really it's the voice of God coming through to us. So that's why we spend more time on a Sunday morning with the message than usually with our announcements. Now, if you've read the book of Exodus or have heard the story, I hope you would agree with me. It is an awesome story. It's a great story. It's a kind of a wow story in the Bible. And I think that's why there's been a number of movies based on the book of Exodus. So I'm sure some of us have heard of these movies or we've seen them. 1956, a few years before I was born, The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston as Moses. I think Phyllis told us recently, our family, that you used to watch every Easter. Was it every Easter it came on TV when she was younger? And maybe others of us, I know for me, it was The Sound of Music. Every Easter, every Christmas, it came on TV. And you know, these other movies, like Ten Commandments, would come on TV every once in a while, every year. About 20 years ago, there was A Prince of Egypt, an animated version of the Exodus story, some great songs in that movie. And what I remember of the movie, I haven't watched it for a while, was it's pretty close, you know, pretty close to the book, to the book of Exodus, to the real story. And then about 5 years ago, Of Gods and Kings, which was maybe not so close to the real Exodus story. Well-known director, as far as I know, some well-known actors, but not really received very well, even though it made $250 million. So, and there's a place for all these movies, but what I'm trying to do with us here at Nelson Avenue is to read the actual story. So I'm asking, and we just started this past week, I'm not sure if you noticed that, but I'm asking for one chapter a week from the book of Exodus as we move through the sermon series, which might sound like a lot to you, I don't know, a chapter a week. But if you can keep going, a chapter a week for all the chapters in Exodus, that's 40 chapters, 40 weeks, then you'll kind of keep pace, I think, with the sermon series because we're going to be in this for a while. For about 40 weeks. So pray for me, but I'm gonna also be praying for us. God give us strength to get through this. And I'm not saying that negatively. I just know sometimes when a series goes on, there's a, oh, we got to do something different. I really want to stick with Exodus till the end. So I want us to read the story for ourselves, but I also want us to read the story because someone said something to me this summer that I found so provocative. They said to me, according to them, the Harry Potter series of books was a better story than the Bible. Better written, more engaging. And I thought, I'm so thankful that person said that to me. Because I think that's the reality many people live with, even in the church, right? The movies we watch, the books we read, the Bible's okay, but it doesn't compare to Star Wars. Doesn't compare to Harry Potter. So as we're reading through Exodus, I would like to ask you to be asking, how does this story compare? You know, is Harry Potter a better story than the Bible? I don't want to say yes or no. I just want to say, be asking that. Is Harry Potter a better story than the book of Exodus? I think just keep that question live for us. Now, again, it's going to be a long series. I'm really thankful at the outset that I've had some church leaders help me with this sermon series. I'm really thankful for that. So at the very beginning, as we were thinking about a sermon series for the fall, Pastor Angela, my memory is, she was saying we should do a kind of a engage a long book of the Bible, and let's do the book of Exodus. So Pastor Angela, thank you for that. And then in the summertime, one of our elders, Marcus, gave me a really great commentary. So I want to say thank you for that. A commentary written by a scholar named Alec Motyer. I'm pretty sure from England, United Kingdom. So thank you for the idea. Thank you for the commentary. And I'm also really thankful, believe it or not, that there's three churches in Burnaby doing the book of Exodus this fall. So on Sunday nights, and this is our second evening, we're meeting with three churches, Nelson Avenue and New Life and New West Christian Reformed Church, to do this human sexuality series. Tonight's our second evening at New Life Church, 7 o'clock. So New Life is on Government Road by the Costco there. I found out that all three churches are also doing Exodus. Now, I said to our daughter Grace, coincidence? And she said, I think not. Right? All three churches start with the letter N, New Life, Nelson Avenue, New West. We're all doing the human sexuality series. We've all banded together, and now we're all doing Exodus together. Coincidence? I think not. This morning, what I want to do a little differently than most Sunday mornings, typically we read a passage and then we kind of focus on that passage. This morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the big picture. So we're going to read from the very beginning of Exodus and the very end, and then I want to talk about what's the whole book about, which is too much really for a morning, but I want to focus on at least, I think, one present theme, one prevalent theme in the book of Exodus. And so that's the plan for this morning. So, Roger, if you'd come and read from chapter 1 and then also chapter 40.
These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each with his family: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful and multiplied greatly, increased the number and became so numerous that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal with shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent and of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set it out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set it out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire as was the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels.
This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So this morning we want to talk about freedom. I'm going to suggest that freedom is one of the main themes of the book of Exodus. And as I did this past week, I want to ask you, what does freedom mean to you? When you hear that word, what does freedom mean to you? And it's possible that some of us will say, well, it's kind of like one of those words that when you ask me, I kind of have a feeling, kind of inside, I kind of know what it means, but it's hard maybe to define. So sometimes, if you know someone's asked, you know, what's love? Well, I got a feeling. I kind of know what it's like. I think I've experienced it, but I have a tough time defining it. Or words like good or kind. And I'm suggesting freedom's maybe a word like that. We maybe have a sense of what it's like, but it's maybe difficult to exactly say it. And I'm asking this because Exodus, which means departure, is a great word to describe this book of the Bible. Other words like liberation, salvation, deliverance are great words to describe this book of the Bible, but also a word like freedom is a great word to describe the book of Exodus, this second book in the Bible. I'm also asking about freedom this morning because I think freedom or being free is so valued by people. Like, we want to live in a free society. We want to have, even though I think there's some debate about what these terms mean these days, we want to have freedom of speech or freedom of religion. People want to be free to be themselves, free from maybe constraints. Some people want to be sexually free, or they want to be free to express themselves, pursue their dreams. Maybe it's still out there, but I always remember Freedom 55, which I think was, you can be retired and everything's going to be fine for you financially at the age of 55. Some people longing for that. Some people, maybe more seriously, longing for freedom from toxic relationships in their lives, or from that job that keeps asking us to compromise our values, or freedom, as we talked about earlier in the service, of past abuse that keeps impacting us even years later, or freedom from shame or fear or certain pressures in our lives people keep placing on us. I even want to point out this morning, I think I'm longing for me and for all of us to be free from being religious, which I keep coming back to actually in my Sunday morning messages. And I heard it again this past week. Someone says, oh yeah, I have a friend quite wealthy, and they were Roman Catholic. Then they became a Buddhist, and they gave quite a bit of money to that Buddhist temple in Richmond. And they did that. The person said they did that because they want Buddha to bless them. And I said, well, a lot of people who are religious, that's how they act, right? They see God as like a transaction. I'm nice, I'm good, I'm kind, I give a lot of money to whatever it is, and I'm expecting something in return. And then this person said, well, what my friend really needs is not religion, but they need faith. Which I thought, that was pretty perceptive, right? Faith in the grace and goodness of God. Not, I'm going to do something, God, or Buddha, so you do something good to me, but I believe that the God, I believe the God we find in the scriptures, also in the book of Exodus, is a God of grace already. And we go in faith to him. Not, I need the blessing. I already have the blessing, O God, in you. I go in faith seeing that you are already the God of blessing toward me. This past week, I asked some people Nelson Avenue, what is freedom? And so here are some of their responses, which when I put them all together, I thought, pretty good. Like, I was really thankful for some thinking about freedom. Someone said, freedom is having the ability to choose without constraints. Somebody else, my freedom comes from God's love. It is from God that my nature can reach its full fruition and best outcome. Somebody else, to live within the grace fully supported by the word of truth and not according to my own wisdom or desires. And then a fourth person, the ability to choose. But the goodness of choice requires self-imposed restrictions. Unfettered freedom seems harmful. And I put all of those together, and I think if I mix them all together, it sounds a lot like Pastor Tim Keller. Because his quote on freedom, when I put all these together, it sounds a lot like that. So he says, freedom is not the absence of limitations and constraints, but it is finding the right ones, those that fit our nature and liberate us. And this morning, I want to encourage us that if we're reading through Exodus, or if we're here for more of the sermon series, that we try and keep this idea of freedom in our minds. We're thinking, what is freedom? How does Exodus talk about freedom? But what does freedom mean for me in this time? What is God's freedom for me? I've already said that Exodus is about liberation, salvation, deliverance, redemption, and freedom. Exodus is a large story. The only story, I think, bigger than Exodus in the Old Testament, in the first two-thirds of the Bible, is the story of creation. So there's creation, that's the biggest story, but the second biggest story is the story of Exodus. And it really defines the Jewish people, I think, even to today. All that happened in the Exodus keeps defining the Jewish people. I was reading last spring a book called Echoes of Exodus, and the authors were talking about this theme, not just in the book of Exodus, but also throughout the Bible. So they would say that Exodus is basically about three things, and we keep reading about this in the Bible. So Exodus is, there is some kind of oppression going on. People are enslaved, they're oppressed. Typically there's someone or some force or power over them. Then they are delivered. Typically not by themselves, but somebody else comes and delivers them. They escape from the deliverance. And they end up, thirdly, in some kind of new reality, oftentimes a new land. And this is what we find not just in Exodus, but the authors would say the story of the flood, right? Noah and the flood, that is a story of Exodus. There is wickedness in the whole earth, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6. So there's oppression and slavery, and people are under this kind of domination of wickedness and sin. And then God delivers Noah and his family through the ark, being in the ark, but a judgment of water comes. And after their deliverance, Noah and his family become inhabitants in this kind of new world, or this new earth with a new covenant or a new promise from God to them and into the whole creation. And then the authors say, well, we see this other place as well, but also when we get to the New Testament, the way the New Testament talks about Jesus and salvation is very much like Exodus language. So let me just quote from the book here. They say, first of all, we're slaves of sin, death, fear, the flesh, the devil. And then at just the right time, God, in the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God rescued us, defeated our enemy, redeemed us through the blood of his Son, taking us through the waters of baptism, uniting us to himself, giving us his Spirit to lead us and guide us, and providing us with all that we need. And then thirdly, we were enslaved, we were delivered, and then thirdly, he takes us into a new creation of resurrection and victory, milk and honey. In other words, Paul's gospel is a gospel of Exodus. And I wonder this morning, as we go through the book, if you can spot also in your own life, where is God doing an Exodus thing in your life? Has he done something like the Exodus in your life? Through Jesus Christ, but are there also other moments in your life through Christ where you were enslaved, God has delivered you in some way, and now you find yourself in a new reality? Now, as we read through Exodus, for me, the phrase that just sort of leaps off the page and becomes this phrase of freedom is when God says to Moses, I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Right? Get your grubby hands, get your hands of slavery off my people. Stop oppressing them. Stop enslaving them. Stop doing all these, trying to kill them. Release them, free them, so that they might worship me. And as I think about that message from God through Moses to Pharaoh and really to all of Egypt, let my people go. And as we see what happens in the book of Exodus, I'm going to suggest this morning that as we hear that phrase, it's really pointing us to two realities in the book of Exodus, two parts to the book of Exodus. So the first half of Exodus is really all around Egypt and all that happens, and finally the people getting out of Egypt. But when they leave Egypt, and even when they go through the Red Sea, Exodus is not done yet. The story isn't done until those final verses that Roger read for us this morning. These verses where we read that after all was said and done, they went out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, got to Mount Sinai, heard the law, built the tabernacle. Finally, at the very end of Exodus, we get the climax, the glory of God, or the presence of God, falls on the tabernacle, really falls on the people, and now God and his people can commune together or exist together. So roughly, the first 18 chapters, all about Egypt, and then the last number of chapters, 19 to 40, all about Mount Sinai and what happens there. And as I thought about this, I thought, boy, those pyramids are kind of like mountains. A little bit. And of course, Mount Sinai is a mountain. So really, this is a story about two mountains. We got Pharaoh's mountain, and we got God's mountain. And Exodus, one of the questions we should be asking is, which mountain do you want to make the center of your life? Which mountain will you go to? Which mountain will you go to get your sense of purpose? And even as we think about Egypt and Sinai, we really have the two parts of the Exodus story, but really also the two parts of what freedom is. Because as I thought about the definition that people gave me from the church, but also Pastor Tim Keller, as I think about the book of Exodus, freedom, any kind of freedom, is always freedom from and freedom for. So it's never just, oh, you're freed from Pharaoh, you're freed from slavery, you're freed from Egypt. Whenever that happens, we should be asking, okay, now what? Right? Now what? And the book of Exodus is there to describe freedom to us. You will be, in the book of Exodus, you are freed from slavery and fear and sin and Pharaoh and the evil one. But that's not the end of the story. We're always, in the Christian story, we're always freed from in order to be freed for God's purposes for us. And for me, that's so helpful, right? So freedom is not just, oh, I got freedom, now I can do whatever I want to. I'm just left to my own devices. At least in the Bible story, it's freedom from this oppressor, this dictator, this tyrant, freedom, freed from that into the grace or the life or the purposes of God for us. And that's why I want to just spend a few moments at this table here this morning. I think some of the worship ministry was wondering, okay, what's going on, right? There's timbits on the stage. They must be for us, I think they were thinking. And I should have told them that this is sacred space. It's for the sermon. Please don't touch the timbits yet. What I want to show this morning is, and I should recognize, we at Nelson Avenue, we do a lot with food. I keep hearing that, right? So next week, Sunday, we're having a welcome lunch for Nahom, who is the young man that we've supported as a refugee. He came to Canada a few weeks ago, and so we're having a lunch for him after the service. And then 2 weeks from now, we typically have our All Nations Heritage Sunday, so we're celebrating cultures, ethnicities, different countries. And I'm so thankful the youth ministry has said, we're going to help out with that. And instead of having the flags hanging in the sanctuary this year, we're going to be having tables in the church somewhere representing different countries. So that's what the video announcement was about earlier. If you're able to help with that, want to help with that, represent your country, your culture, please talk to Renata or someone from the youth ministry, and they would love for you to be involved in that. But as I thought about freedom, I'm really hoping this will help us, but I thought, I think some people, you know, they think of freedom like this. I'm free. I can choose whatever I want to choose, right? This is the moment of freedom right here. And I can do whatever I want to. So I could have a Timbit. I'm totally free to have a Timbit. And I'm so thankful, and I got to credit the youth ministry and the worship team, they ate from my Timbits. I should have said sacred, but what they did, I don't know if you noticed that, they ate from the Timbits, then they brought some more Timbits, right? Snuck them in here, so thank you so much. So now we have 20 Timbits that I bought earlier this morning. But I think some people think, oh, I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm going to have a Timbit. Now I'm free again. Guess what? I'm going to have another Timbit. Now, I don't want to eat them right now because I want to save them for some of you later on. But some people think, oh, this is freedom. I get to do whatever I want to, but what's going to happen if I keep eating Timbits? You're going to get fat. You're going to what? It's all bad things are going to happen in your body. I believe it also is going to start happening in your mind. And really what happens, I think I'm free. And really what happens, I get enslaved. So, now, maybe not helpful for you, but really helpful for me. What really is freedom? To keep eating the Timbits I want to for the rest of my life? I don't think so. That's going to do bad things to me, and now I'm really a slave to the Timbits and to Tim Hortons. Right? So, now, this is a very simple example, but I'm thinking, what is really true freedom in this example? And not just with food or with this little simple thing this morning, but also with the rest of our lives. And that's why I'm so thankful for Jesus, who said in John chapter 8, this is John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, very famous words, but I realize sometimes we hear words and we think, oh, and we hear one verse, we don't really hear the whole context. So Jesus, in verse 31 of John 8, says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So I've taught you some stuff. if you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I love how Jesus takes freedom, but he also connects it with a word like truth and says, you got to know the truth, not kind of abstractly. You got to know the truth in me, these things I've taught you. And if you listen to me, if you follow me as the truth, you will find your freedom.